The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're with Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you jolly well are. And I am right here with you today. And we have another fun-filled show on the road, as I am, from Blackpool, facing out into the Irish Sea. So at 9:40, young Brits are being told to stay away from Amsterdam. But on that, I want to know, what freedoms are there that you kind of already miss for young people? You know, things from your past, dark deeds and ill-thought-out attempts to what might be funny. What things do you miss already for your children? I'm talking about taking a holiday, not knowing where you're going to go and just ending up there 2 days later. I want to talk about that. It's a kind of nostalgia revival going on right now, I think, in our minds. At 9:20, British Conservative MPs are calling out that they are not standing again. Is this a case of rats deserting the sinking ship? Have British MPs found their moral compass? Surely not. For what reason are Tory MPs deserting in their droves? But first up, we'll go through the top three stories of the day as chosen by me. You are with me, Katie Hopkins, right here on TNT Radio. And here's the numbers to call to get involved in the conversation.
Our lines are open. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
So please do give us a call on any of those phone numbers. Jump on the phone and let me know what you think about the things I'm talking about the things you want to talk about, because it really is your voices that matter and your voices that we want to hear. Do also get involved on the chat. You can go to tntradio.live and you can be part of the conversation there. And as I go through the show, I do try to read out some of your chats. So whatever you write on there, I will be reading out if I can. So you will be part of the conversation as well. So as I sit here, if I may describe to you, at my little desk in my hotel room in Blackpool. Blackpool, if you don't know it, is a glorious kind of old-fashioned seaside town, and hence my nostalgia thoughts for 9:40 today, so 40 minutes past the hour. I'm asking you, what freedoms is it that you miss? Blackpool looks out onto the Irish Sea in the coast, on the coast of England, nestled just below Scotland and the neck, I would describe it the mullet of Scotland, the bit that sticks out on the left-hand side. I'm not sure that's a very geographical term, but that's where I'm seated, looking out over fields and obviously another grey sky. One day, British people aspire that we will see blue skies again, but I'm here in Blackpool, so if you hear any kind of bangs or knocks or shrieks or doors being rapped or the scraping of chairs, please know not all those noises are coming from me, but maybe from the glorious people working hard here in the hotel to have a lovely time with their guests. That's what's going on. The other important thing I need to talk to you about briefly before I get on to my top three stories, which are rapidly becoming top 25 Katie Hopkins personal issues for the day, is that my son has lost his tie. We are calling this Tiegate. My son is 14 years old. He is a proper teenager in the sense that he does have, actually, he just had shaven into his head a mullet. Long at the front, long at the back, and short on the sides. It's a sort of a nod and a wink to humour of teenage boys. What it also manages to do is kind of make what could be a fairly attractive a child look incredibly unattractive indeed, which I think is the principle of the mullet on the teen son. Regardless, Tiegate has occurred. I sent the teenage son to school. Well, I mean, what control do I have, really, over a teenage child? I mean, truly, I managed to get it out the door vaguely on time without having to drive like a maniac in my Fiat Panda when he misses the bus, as happens regularly. I sent him out with a tie. There was definitely a tie on the child, 6'2" child. These ties are remarkably jolly red and blue. They have a clip, which I disagree with. I think every child should know how to tie a tie, just like every man should know how to tie a bow tie and every woman should know how to untie one. But that's an altogether darker nighttime show. I sent him out with his clip-on tie. Admittedly, it was at something of a jaunty angle. The tie was not probably where it should have been, because that's part of being a teen, isn't it? You have to wear everything as if you're the most scruffy you could possibly be and have been dragged through a hedge backwards before the hour of 8:10 in the morning. However, on returning home, there was an absence of said clip-on tie. And this is becoming an issue. As you will see, I'm pretending to be a mother. I'm not very good at being a mother. And the son is needing to have a tie. I'm on the road, generally trying to save the nation from itself and to chivvy people along and raise people up. Later on this morning, I'll be on the Blackpool Pier, encouraging people to attend live shows, particularly mine, May 13th. Quick plug. And then I'll be making my way to another part of the country later on today, where I will be gathering our people in a tremendous speakeasy happening under the cover of darkness. 300 of us gathered together in this age of prohibition. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to be desperately searching for a tie for my child in a different part of the country, who's going to get into trouble if one doesn't turn up. And I've been required, last thing last night before I went to bed, to write an email to the school explaining that I do see the importance of my child turning up in a tie and that uniforms do matter, which of course I do believe. I'm ex-military, uniforms matter. I know how to iron like a demon. I used to have to fold my underwear, my pants, or as Americans call them, disturbingly, panties. I used to have to iron them. That's probably lost everybody at the studio, you know, nipples and panties. The boys lose their minds. I used to have to iron them into 6-centimeter squares and place them in the drawer. So at the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, everything in your first term has to be immaculate. You are not allowed a single, you do have to, you know, clean your own carpet in your bedroom with sellotape, sticky tape. You don't sleep on your bed because it has to be made in an exacting fashion and ironed. So you sleep on the floor next to your bed, and you have to iron your panties in your drawer into a perfect 6-centimeter squares, and you're only allowed 4 of those. So I am unclear how we have digressed to me ironing my panties in a drawer at the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst 20 years ago. I think that came to you via my son's tie. But what we will do with some haste is move forwards into the actual top 3 stories. You are welcome to get on the chat and let me know if you prefer my stories to the top 3 stories of the day. Do you prefer hearing about my panties and my son's tie? Or do you prefer hearing about the actual stories and the news that I'm supposed to be bringing you from the UK? People on the chat, oh, you are awful, but I love you. I'm here just for the hour, my darlings. I know, it's like hell in perpetuum, but just for 60 minutes. That's all you have of me. And then thankfully your ears will be given a break and someone will talk to you much more sensibly about something. Maybe it'll be Patrick Hegarty, whatever he's called, with the deep, low voice. I looked up, actually, what animal can hear humans talking when they talk very, very low indeed. And you may have thought that would be an elephant, which is actually what I thought, that it would be an elephant that would be able to hear some of the TNT radio presenters. But actually, no. It turns out it's the pigeon. So when Patrick's talking on TNT, actually, excuse my coughing, his main audience may indeed be the humble pigeon, which can hear his growling rattle, whatever hertz that is, 0.2 hertz, a pigeon can still hear. What a thing. What a thing. I call them rats in the sky, but it turns out they are remarkable animals. Like I said, we're getting to the top 3 stories of the day. We've wended our way from Blackpool to my son's tie to my panties to pigeons being able to hear at low frequencies. But here we are. Top story out of the UK, Jeremy Corbyn. Now, Jeremy Corbyn, quick background briefing, massive lefty, kind of socialist, looks like he got dressed in the dark and hasn't eaten for about 18 years, but much beloved by the very hard left here in the UK. Once, obviously, former leader, should probably make that point, of the Labour Party, and very much a friend of illegals, very much a friend of everybody coming from everywhere, and of caring about everyone for the many, not for the few. And he speaks out against the private schooling of the Tory Party MPs, which, I mean, fair enough, he seems to have a point there. And he is sort of beloved. He is beloved by the hard left. He's done many, many, in my opinion, despicable things. He seems terribly pally with the IRA, which spent the best part of my young life trying to blow either people I loved up or horses up or many other things. But that aside, when it comes to the next election, Jeremy Corbyn has been blocked by Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, from standing to be a Labour MP. So Jeremy Corbyn, beloved by the hard left, beloved by so many, the guy who says, I stand for the many, not for the few. Yesterday, he was out on the streets of his constituency, which is Islington, very right on. I have to literally run through Islington before I'm hunted down like a poor fox by a pack of vegan wolves. But anyway, he has been blocked from standing at the next election. So the left wing are outraged. They have fiercely criticised Keir Starmer. I mean, this does seem horribly authoritarian, even by my standards, which are pretty high. And it is divisive. So his Islington constituency, which falls always to Labour because it's Islington and they speak 4,500 different languages there. And as a taxpayer, I'm expected to fund translation services so that the people of Islington can access the free health care that I also fund, because, of course, free healthcare isn't free. Just having a small gripe there. But he will not be allowed to stand as a Labour candidate in his own constituency where he's been for about 100 million years. That might not be statistically accurate, but you get my point. He released a statement hours after the NEC, that's the big group that runs everything, the NEC backed Starmer's motion to block him from standing as a party candidate, 22 votes to 12. So this is the statement from Corbyn. The NEC's decision to block my candidacy for Islington North is a shameful attack on party democracy, party members, and natural justice, Corbyn said. Now more than ever, we should be offering a bold alternative to the government's programme of poverty, division, and repression. And you know what? I actually find myself in agreement with the man who I have nothing in common with whatsoever. I don't agree that he's a vegan. I don't agree that he looks like he got dressed in the dark. I don't like the fact that he stands for every person who's chosen to join this country, but it is not well-mannered enough to try and support this country. I don't agree with his principles. I don't agree with his politics, but I do agree he should have the right to stand. If this is a democratic country, which I think is laughable, what harm can it be that a man stands in his own constituency and he does represent the hard left wing of the Labour Party? I see what Keir Starmer's trying to do. He's playing to the establishment and he's doing it remarkably well, as he has done his whole career. But I do feel a bit sorry for Jeremy Corbyn, and those are words I would never thought I would hear myself say. Moving along, my second top story out of the UK involves Amsterdam. A digital, get this, digital discouragement campaign has been launched by Amsterdam to discourage British men aged 18 to 35 from going to Amsterdam. Amsterdam does not want our British lads over in Amsterdam. The initiative forms part of efforts to clean up Amsterdam's raunchy reputation as Europe's most liberal party capital. And the videos show young men staggering about, being handcuffed, fingerprinted, having their mugshots taken. So a frightening idea for stag parties that if you come over here and you're in any way raunchy or in any way misbehaved, you will end up in the clangor. I mean, you will end up being fingerprinted, having your mugshots taken. A digital discouragement campaign. I am sick of this. This is what leads into our call in, our chat at 9:40 about what freedoms and fun do you miss? Why can't young lads go to Amsterdam and have a laugh? Why can't they go over there and be rowdy? What is wrong with ogling naked women in windows and experimenting with drugs and having some fun? I just digital discourage. Everything about that wording makes me want to take a blunt pencil and shove it up my considerable nose. It makes me want to spit. And very quickly, I must say this as my top three. This has broken my whole heart this morning. You might not know of him, you might not care, but Paul O'Grady, a so beloved entertainer here in the UK, he was drag before drag was a thing. He spoke out about LGB rights before that was a thing, but mostly he's just funny and darling and an entertainer, and he has died, age 67. And he wasn't supposed to. I don't know what that even means, but he's definitely not supposed to have died. And he only just got booted off his radio show recently because somehow we can't have funny people anymore. We have to have young lesbians at all times. And I love him. And he's died. And I'm bereft. So I want to say to anybody out there who also loved Paul O'Grady or perhaps his comedy character, Lily Savage, which he was out doing in the 1970s, I'm with you. And it breaks my heart that at a time when we need good, funny people more than ever who also love dogs, I mean, really, we've lost one of our finest, Paul O'Grady. So a million hugs to everybody who feels as sad as I do today about lovely Paul O'Grady. Thank you for bearing with me as we've just run through the top 85 stories coming out of the UK today, most of them featuring my personal or private life. And we will come back after this short break with our story at 9:20, which is why are Tory MPs deserting the ship like rats? Have they found a moral compass? Or is it they don't want to be part of what's about to happen to the British Conservative Party? Do get involved in the conversation. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
You should hear what David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan are talking about.
I assume that if they couldn't say for sure that there was going to be a weapons of mass destruction attack, you always have to err on the side of caution. But when I found out many years later that there was never any real threat and the dossier was sexed up, as they called it, in order to make a case for the war, that really shook me to my core. That's one of the reasons I became a whistleblower, to say I'm all for the military, I'm all for the government, but the idea that our own people are actually doctoring evidence, it goes against everything that we stand for as a nation, everything that we are meant to be doing as military officers, and it is so wrong. If we do that, we become the bad guys of the world. If we lose our values, if we trample on human rights, we put people in jail, there's nothing left to defend.
McBride and Brennan with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Thanks for listening to us. Now, we want to listen to you. Our lines are open from the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Absolutely it is. So do jump on the lines and give us a call in the UK, 0330-024-1026. All the other numbers there at tnt.live. Patrick Henningsen, that is the fellow. I knew his name, really, but I've been corrected. So yes, he is the fellow I'm talking about with a deep, deep voice. And the lovely studio have just said he's got a huge ratings in Trafalgar Square. You may recall back in the past, in its glorious heyday, London used to be filled with pigeons in Trafalgar Square. I can actually see a picture of me as a small child in a horrific sweater. Oh, my lordy, lordy, lord. My sister and I used to be dressed alike. And my nan used to knit. And if there is ever a combo that is truly shocking, it's a nan that knits and a mother that likes to dress her girls the same. And my sister and I had these, well, I can only be just, I mean, it's basically child abuse, but these Aran sweaters in a cable knit. Oh, my lord. Anyway, a picture of me, little kneeling down as a little tiny child, feeding the glorious pigeons in Trafalgar Square when you could still buy some pigeon feed for however many pence it was. And that was part of the fun. And we had them perched all over us, on our heads, in our eyeballs, up our noses, in our ears. And we thought this was most terrific. This is what, you see, this is what I'm talking about. Nostalgia, the fun of the past. We didn't know at the time that pigeons definitely carry AIDS and syphilis, and we were being infected at every moment. That was the old school kind of fun that we used to have. Right. So that's good. That's cleared that up. Patrick Henningsen can only be heard by pigeons and occasionally the odd elephant. I want to know from you, my darlings. Do jump on the phones. Do let me know on the chat. What is going on in the Conservative Party? What is happening with Tory MPs? And why are they jumping ship? Why are so many of them coming out and saying, I won't stand again at the next election? And it isn't just one or two of them. It isn't just a handful. And it isn't just the old ones. And, you know, super respectfully, you know, who were to all old people, because love you. And no one's ever passed their time, darlings. You've got to keep going right to the end, as I intend to do, as I wander into the hospice and get connected up to my catheter and my morphine. Not that I'm looking forward to that. Totally looking forward to that. Why are so many leaving? There's like 27, I think, at last count, that are running away from being Tory MPs. And their excuses are all lame and miserable. Most, if they're young, so some of these guys are like 27 or 33, they're babies. They haven't even been born yet in my book. And they're saying that they've seen other things in their lives. They want to explore other avenues of their life. They don't want to lose their lives too early, but they do want to come back to politics. Basically, it's about, you know, I need to spend time with my young family, right? Other people are sort of saying, oh, well, I need to pursue this career of mine. I need to pursue this career. And that's why they're saying they're leaving. But there's some real, real big hitters that are walking towards the door and that won't be coming back. Douglas Ross, for one, calm, eloquent. He did call for Boris Johnson to quit over Partygate. He's going. Charles Walker, who's an absolute darling, was anti-lockdowns, been absolutely fine and fabulous throughout. He's the guy I would love to have been Prime Minister, actually. He's not going to run again. Then there's some of the big guns, Sajid Javid. I mean, really, Sajid Javid, somebody here on text saying, do we actually care if they're leaving? Good riddance, I reckon. They've all made enough extra money and don't care about the people of this country. They should all be locked up, not let out. So the truth of it, isn't it? So Sajid Javid, a big hitter, he's leaving. Matt Hancock, the guy that locked us all down, pushed the spurious notion that we were all going to die immediately, and then was caught banging one of his aides in a back office room. Well, I mean, we didn't actually get those pictures, but one assumes from what went on in the back room that that was going on all along. He's going to stand down. Presumably, he thinks he's going to pursue some glorious kind of career on TV. Whereas actually, I think the British people, as summarised here on the TNT Radio.live chat, people are desperate to see the back of these people. And I mean, and genuinely, that's how I feel as well. I'm delighted. The more Tory MPs that say they aren't going to stand, the more difficult it becomes for Rishi Sunak, the more hard it becomes for him to say he has control of his party. You know, I'm glad if people are standing up now and saying they're quitting, because not only does it show that the Tory party has lost control, which many of us have known for a long time, I think it also shows the two-party system has been a failure and hasn't been representative for a very long time. And I think it also provides opportunities for others and independents that can stand and actually provide a voice truthfully and honestly for local people, independents who actually care for the person that lives next door to them or down the road, or someone who thinks opposite to them, but deserves a chance, deserves a possibility. Tory MPs, I'm reading from the chat here, my darlings. Do get involved in the conversation. Do give us a call. In just a moment, I will remind you of the numbers to ring. Tory MPs are self-destructing government who also order to rid themselves of any responsibility besides confrontation over the last 3 years, to say the least, is to avoid answering any further questions, plus to fall in order with one world. So true, is to rid themselves from any responsibility. Isn't that the truth of it? That's from Maddie on the chat. Isn't that the thing? That if you're an MP, you get to make what I would call, and many of you I suspect would call, horrendous decisions, appalling decisions, decisions that have taken the lives, fact, of people, and then you just get to say in advance, so as to save face, well, I'm leaving, I'm not going to be running again. I suppose that is the question being prompted by TNT listeners, is should they be allowed to say they're quitting? Should the people who did to this country, your country, Australia, America, Canada, should they be allowed to simply say, oh, off I go into the sunset with my pension and my speaking fees and my book publishing deal? Should they be allowed to just walk away from what they've done to this country? Should they be allowed to just rid themselves of it? People like Matt Hancock, should he be allowed to walk away, imagining himself or perhaps already contracted to be a radio presenter or a TV host or some such, that he's obviously been gaming for as he's gone out and done, you know, Celebrity SAS or The Jungle, where everyone suddenly warmed to him because he was sucking on a kangaroo's bollock. Am I allowed to say bollock? I think I am. Colin here on the chat saying we need 650 independents, no parachuted candidates, all local people. I absolutely support that way of thinking. We are done with this parachuting in of the local, you know, whoever they want, they, as in the people in charge, the one world order want. We've got puppets all about us, don't we? Boris Johnson, in my view, was bought off at the same time as he was alleged to have COVID. He was bought off and completely did a 180 on not locking down our country. We need to have people who come from the place they're supposed to be representing. And we don't need to have candidates brought in. And I've seen it happen where I live. Exactly this happened. They brought in their latest squeaky toy and placed him in the area, the constituency where I live. Bear in mind, I ripped up my Tory membership ages ago. And of course, I have absolutely no affiliation with any parties whatsoever. And I would absolutely support an independent candidate. But in my area, they just imported an MP, chucked a bunch of money behind him, put him in a squeaky little suit with a typical tie, standard issue tie, and he patted out all the things that he was supposed to say, but asked a question about our local area. He couldn't even answer it because he's not from our place. He doesn't know us. Should these rats be allowed to jump off the sinking ship, or should they be made to stay and face the consequences? I wonder if some of them have found, I know, hear me out, have some of them found some kind of moral compass? One of the big hitters that's leaving, and I mean, I say big hitter because she's a known name, you may find that she makes your skin crawl. She was a passionate supporter. And when I mean passionate supporter, you know, I mean passionate supporter in the way that Clinton, Sir Clinton may have had some passionate supporters working on their knees in a moniker sense. I don't want to cast aspersions about Nadine Dorries, but I think she may have been a passionate supporter. I mean, last time I saw her, she was wearing knee defenders like my son has when he goes out on his skateboard. No, I totally made that up. She is quitting as well. So what I want to do is play you a clip of Nadine Dorries explaining why. And bear in mind, these politicians all sort of take the moral high ground, don't they? They are suddenly the principled ones. They are suddenly the ones that are doing the right thing. But anyway, I want to play you this so you can have a little listen to Nadine with her, you know, padded knees, explaining why she's flouncing off and why she's going to do that now. Have a little listen to Nadine Dorries.
Those MPs who drank the Kool-Aid and got rid of Boris Johnson are already asking themselves the question, who next? And I'm afraid that the lack of cohesion, the infighting, and occasionally the sheer stupidity from those who think we could have removed a sitting prime minister who secured a higher percentage of the vote share than Tony Blair did in 1997, just 3 short years ago, that they could do that and the public would let us get away with it. I'm afraid it's this behaviour that I now have to just remove myself from. And so, despite it being a job that I've loved for every year that I've done it, I'm now off. My gosh, I just said it out loud. There's no going back now.
Yes, you did, Nadine. You said it out loud. She sounded like she shocked herself, love her heart. I do think that is a truth of the matter, actually. I think in life, if you say something out loud sometimes, it does rather shock you and make you realize that that's real. I mean, imagine how many times in my life that's become a thing. I mean, even talking about my own panties and ironing them and putting them in the drawer in order to please my staff sergeant. You know, these things really sound real when you say them out loud. Same, actually, with when you pass a shop window and you see your reflection. Women will know about this. I know I'm deviating, but stay with me. If you see your reflection in a shop window, there is a weird thing that happens because you see yourself more truthfully in a shop window than you do in your own mirror. We will explore this at another time because I do want to do a segment one of these coming days about women putting themselves down, because I'm tired of it, I'm sick of it, and men too for that matter. I determined we will stop doing that. So let's press pause on me deviating wildly into why women should stand up for themselves more and go back to the topic. How about that? Which is Tory MPs jumping off the sinking ship and Nadine there blaming it on infighting, a lack of cohesion, and the sheer stupidity she's being surrounded by. I mean, I think actually one of the things I do admire Nadine for is that she is at least having some honesty there. Like a lot of what she's just said there is quite brutal, that she's surrounded by the sheer stupidity, that she's surrounded by people who've been drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, she was part of that, obviously. And that she doesn't want to be around all of that infighting and petty behavior anymore. And I think she points to a truth there. You know, the politicians I know, not in a biblical sense, my darlings, but a lot of them, I'm talking about the good boys who are on our side. I'm talking about Republicans in California doing one of the hardest jobs trying to be a Republican in California, in America, for example. You know, when they fly to DC, which is I want to say ball-achingly awful flight that they make each week, a Monday to Friday to be in Washington, D.C., and then have to fly back to California at the weekends. It's spine-crunchingly, soul-destroyingly awful. They hate to be in D.C. They hate to be in the political capital of America, because it is so blooming awful to be around the tawdry behaviour, the infighting, the political process of it all, the paperwork, the endless doing nothing and achieving nothing, and the spitting arguments that I had for the camera when actually very little gets done. People say to me a lot, I'm sure they say to many of you, oh, you should get into politics. It's a kind thing. People mean it kindly, don't they? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be, golly, Tories have, I'm supposed to be reading chats. This is why the show is so short. The Tories have just about destroyed society. True. And the economy. True. All to plan for their next masters. So true. Next, the gullible public will put Labour, good use of words, into Westminster, and they will finish off the job of total destruction of society. Exactly, exactly. Other people wanting the topic about women putting themselves down. We're going to do that. Maybe we'll just do that tomorrow. Maybe we will. Can you hear that rumbling? I don't want to confess this. I have to confess it because I don't have a filter. I don't have a way of hiding anything from you. I overshare everything. That was my stomach. I know. I'm going to eat. The Tory party should know they are bloodsuckers. But I think that's so the point. Tory party have run the country into the ground. They have profited from the managed decline of this country. No politician fights for a country anymore. They profit off its managed decline. They will hand it to Labour. And because of the demographic shift that is afoot in the UK, we will become a minority in our own country. Demographically, we are already overrun. Labour will now have power for as long as they can have it. And unless we get a new system of politics, we're utterly screwed. I'm going to give the last word, not to me, but to the chat or the calls. It's all totally to destroy public's faith in democracy and politics. Then the global elite will swoop in with the solution. Trust us, they will say, we are your saviours. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, my darlings. Well done for joining in on the conversation. Thank you for your educated opinions and for allowing me to deviate off like the deviant that I am. When we come back in the next section, I want to hear your voices because I want you to tell me what freedoms are there that you already kind of miss for your children. And this comes off the back of the digital whatever, whatever it was that Amsterdam is basically telling our lads to do on. I want to know, what do you already miss? What is it that you already miss? I miss a phone that was attached to the wall and my father shouting at me to get off the phone. I miss the freedoms. I miss doing terrible things with terrible people that I shouldn't, knowing that nobody would have a camera to film me. Do pick up the phone. Tell me your most deviant acts. No, don't do that because you'll shock everybody and we'll get pulled from the air and that will be devastating. Tell me what freedoms you already miss. This is the nostalgia call of the hour coming up. Get on the phones. I want to hear your lovely voices and do join us. Don't you dare go anywhere. You know I have a special set of skills. I will hunt you down. My name is Katie Hopkins and this is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather
with reality and perspective.
Why are the Western democracies letting themselves be bullied by their own leaders when it comes to carbon dioxide? It is absolutely infuriating to see what is going on. And you want to know something? It's the fault of the people who are not actually looking at what is happening and just accepting what is going on. China, by far, is the greatest contributor of CO2. And if you want to blame CO2 for the warming, it's China you look at. Since when has anyone stood up to China about trade policy, about COVID, about child labor? And yet they just get away with building 2 coal plants a week. And what of the European Union? They're also decreasing their carbon emissions. With the United States, both are well less than 50% of China. So why are the leaders of these countries bullying their own people? Turn around and stop China and take a stand against China if you truly believe that CO2 is causing all this. I suspect there are other reasons, though. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
Join me and help fight for them by supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Our lines are open. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-3100. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're right here and we are going full nostalgia, my darlings. I am inspired, I know, inspired to talk about this because of the latest nonsense coming out of Amsterdam, where they are trying to say to our glorious naughty boys that go there for stag weekends and to commit any number of vile and foul deeds in the gutters of life with naked women. See, I should be after dark, shouldn't I? They're running a digital discouragement campaign. If there's one thing in life I never, ever, ever want to be, well, I mean, aside from being my mother, if there's two things in life, I don't ever want to be a chumbawamba fat person either. Okay, well, if there's three things in life I never, ever, ever, well, I really don't want to be one of the Canadians in Toronto either. Well, I don't want to be one of those people that parks in a parent and child parking space. Do not be that lazy. Park the other side of the damn car park. Your chumbawamba ass could do with moving a little bit. You don't need that car parking space right next to the door. So if there's five things I never, ever... I could do an hour on this alone. You know that. I know that. If there's things I would never want to be, it would be a digital discouragement campaign manager. And digital discouragement. Oh, what do you do for fun? Well, I digitally discourage people from having fun. That's what I do. What I do is I spread misery around the planet because I'm a digital discouragement manager. Can you imagine that being? Can you imagine when you were little and you believed in spacemen and being a fireman and you believed in passionate and dramatically male things, and then one day, 30 years later, you look at your name badge and it says that you're a digital discouragement manager. Anyway, inspired by such things, I thought we would talk about what are the glorious things that you miss from the past? What are the things that you remember as you were growing up that you really, really, really wish we still had for our children? I have so many of these things. I love this on the chat. Stealing sweets and makeup from Woolworths. Would you please? And remarkably, I know I seem to have a personal story for anything, everything. My life has been long, my darlings. It's why I'm haggard, as my mother says. Darling, you look haggard. I do. It's because my life's been so long. But listen, Woolworths, I used to work in Woolworths. I used to be the pick and mix girl in Woolworths. You know, when you used to get sweeties and, oh God, that sounded like panties, did it? And you used to go and take them to the till. You used to put them in a bag, take them to the till. They would weigh them and then charge you like $8,000 because they're very expensive to purchase that way. And you always got carried away when you were picking your own pick and mix. I was that girl in that blue, it was a blue penny and it had a pocket along the front edge. And I remember when people paid. Do you recall, my darlings? Do talk to me on chat. Do call in. Let me know your favourite memories. Do you remember when you used to have to, when people paid by a card, you would have this thing in triplicate. And there was like pages of it, like wafty thin pages. And you had to get this slidey machine and you had to raspingly drag it across the card. It was glorious. There was like 8,000, you know, feel, it's a French word, isn't it? Mi-foil, 1,000 sheafs. There was many bits of paper. You had to separate it all and give one to the customer, one for the tray. Two were like the bits that copied the other bits. These were glorious times. It took forever. Everyone had to sign things to use a card. It was brilliant.
pick and mix, my darlings. People here saying sampling pick and mix in Woolies as you went around. Exactly. And I was supposed to be the police officer of the local Biddeford, North Devon pick and mix. I was supposed to stop my mates doing that. Do you think I did? Did I, hell? 15-year-old me used to actively encourage it so that people would buy me free drinks at the weekend in Cleopatra's, the nightclub where young things like me were relied on to get the local men in. You know, that's how my stuff worked. I gave them free pick and mix. They bought me drinks at the weekend and in the club they came. As a digital discouragement. Digital discouragement. We were paying with cards that we had to slide using a slidey card machine, wearing a terrible blue thingy with my hands in my pockets. That, let me tell you something else I miss. I miss booking a holiday by using a TV screen. I'm going to explain more about that to you in just a moment. But first, I'm going to play you the numbers that you need to call in order to tell me what freedoms you miss from your dastardly and sordid and sticky childhood life. So here's the numbers you need to call to tell me what freedoms you miss from childhood.
Our lines are open. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Do you remember CFAX? If you're too young to remember, then blooming well look it up, because this is an important part of your life you've missed, but I so wish it was still there. Before the age of the phone, before the age of really digital, certainly not, oh, someone here, teletext holidays. Exactly, exactly. So this was text on your telly, as is indicated by the word teletext. Just call me Poirot. So in the age before digital, like, so we still had, maybe we had fax machines, did we even? I don't know. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that you could see words on a TV screen and these words would change and there was a phone number and it would say things like Malaga. Malaga, £100, 50 quid, I don't know, a tiny amount of money, $10. Malaga, 7 nights, bed and breakfast. Malaga, 50 quid, tomorrow. And it would have the day it left and the day it came back. You would see that and it would be like, there would be like 10 lines on your TV. You would go to teletext, 10 lines, 10 holidays. You would ring the number, boom, you booked it. You booked it. And tomorrow you were going to Malaga and you were only going to pay $10 for it for a whole week with breakfast included. You didn't know where you were going. You didn't know where Malaga was. You didn't know what Malaga was. You couldn't find Malaga on a map if you tried. You didn't know where you were going to stay. You didn't know what your accommodation was going to look like. All you knew is that at 6 o'clock you had to be at an airport and get on a plane. And that was as far as you had to think, because you were picked up from the plane by a bus and usually a fairly sturdy looking woman in appalling polyester uniform holding a clipboard with the thing that you were told to look out for. You got on that bus and that was as much thinking as you had to do. These were glorious times. Someone on the chat saying, youth clubs playing table tennis. Come on. These were the days. And then once you got on the bus, you were on the bus and it was going to stop at multiple hotels and resorts, which clearly they couldn't sell space for love nor money because they were in the arse end of nowhere. And you would be sitting there and this would be your holiday. And then you would pull up at somewhere and then it would look fabulous. Fabulous. It would be light and bright and look fancy. You were going to be on a tropical holiday in Malaga that you only played a tenner for. This was going to be brilliant, but your name wasn't read out. This was not your hotel. This was the couple in front of you and the couple behind you. This was the couple in the front, but it wasn't you. You didn't get to pick. This was not your hotel. This was someone else's. And so the bus plowed on through the darkness and it came to a hotel that looked like no one wanted to stay there. It looked like the place that AIDS began at, a hotel that truly no one would ever want to stay at. And they called your name and you were going to spend 10 days, 7 days in this hellhole. And suddenly you understood why your holiday only cost you a tenner because you booked it on CFAX and you never saw it, because that's the spirit of life that we embrace, the mayhem, the madness, the possible cases of gonorrhea. We signed up for all of it because we were free to just have fun and life was all about the fun. Back then, I miss those times, this is on chat, when the only responsibilities I had were sneaking back in the house before your parents woke up. Weren't those the glorious days? I remember coming home so late and seeing at the top of the garden. I know we had a garden. That's why I'm so posh. That's why I speak the way I do. Seeing my father's naked silhouette. My father's 6'4". He has size 17 feet. I know, right? We come from a big family. Seeing my father's naked form silhouetted against the lounge windows. And me as a 14-year-old at the bottom of the garden thinking, holy hell, this isn't going to end well for me. I miss going out to play, all day with a sandwich in my pocket. Oh no. You see, this is the thing, I'm supposed to be this big bad ass, but you just set me off any moment. I miss going out to play all day with a sandwich in my pocket and coming home when the street lights came on. Oh, when I send my children out to play, it gives my neighbours yet another reason to be hating on me. How very neglectful of me. At least little Johnny isn't snivelling in his sleeve because he has no clue how the real world works without mummy. Isn't that the truth? I so agree with this. Throwing your kids out the door, letting them just play, huh? Letting them just play, letting them get grubby. Maybe they got hit by a car. You know, my understanding, and I, you know, forgive me if you've ever been part of that, but my understanding, the reason I had multiple children is that so one or two of them might not make it, right? You know, we talked about this the other day, didn't we? My ambition is to sort of try and keep them alive. I remember our first TV rented from Rediffusion. Is that, am I reading that correctly? Rediffusion. It was black and white. Oh, come on. Black and white. Two channels only. And the switch to change the TV channel. So many of you typing in, I can't even keep up with this. Two channels only. And the switch to change channel was on the wall next to the window. What? Your TV changey thingy was on the wall. I mean, I remember when it was on the TV, you had to go up and press the button, didn't you? You know? And I used to, so I still leave my TV remote on top of the TV. My husband's like, oh yeah. That was my husband. That was an impression of my husband. I still leave the TV remote on top of the TV because in my day, which is still now, because this is my day, damn it, we had to go to the TV to press the button, didn't we? To change between one, two or three. Same here. I remember that strawberry jam and cheese sandwiches. Oh my gosh, in the same sandwich. It's an old miner's sandwich and also a bottle of council pop. Do you remember pop? Pop with the sticky lid. Do you remember? It used to be glass bottles, didn't it? And the lid or the screwy cap thing would be like sticky with nuclear reactive kind of orange stuff. God only knows what we were drinking. God only knows. It was certainly nuclear reactive. I mean, seriously, if Putin needed a weapon against Zelensky, I'm so proud of my people of Ukraine. I am going to stand up and fight for the people of Ukraine. And then I'm going to turn up at this award show and that award show. And then I am going to have this famous person come here. I don't know why we've gone into French. I'm doing an impression of Zelensky. But if Putin needed a weapon for Zelensky, he could use council pop, couldn't he? The days of traffic wardens with a yellow line on their cap so you could park a car on their head. Good show, Katie. I'm laughing my head off. Good. That's the thing, the credit card machine. I use those contraption. I remember putting 50p in a meter. FFFFFFS. I don't know what FFS means, of course, because I'm naive and innocent. I miss penny gumball machines. Weren't they great? Weren't they great as well if the damp had got in? Do you remember that? When the damp had got into the penny gumball machine. So when the penny gumball came out, all the colouring came off on your fingers and there was this slight sense that someone else may have sucked it just prior to you. I know. We will have to revisit this because the chat's gone wild, everything's gone crazy and everyone's giggling away about KFC. KFC! Do you remember when they used to have a free, what was it called? The boys are trying to tell me I need to be quiet, but what was it called? A free Viennetta. Please tell me on the chat now if you remember when KFC used to give out a free Viennetta. My life was made. I need to go swiftly to play you this, which is the birds singing in my garden. We're all going to be silent. Listen, listen, listen. Imagine me in my pyjamas, standing in my garden. This is the actual birds from my actual trees. I know, and now I'm in Blackpool, looking out over an industrial heartland. I play you those birds to remind you, my darlings, to look up. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult life gets, remember the penny gumballs, remember the credit card machines, remember the pick and mix, remember the fun, remember that you will never work for a digital machine. And remember, my darlings, wherever you are, we're surrounded by those same birds. When we look up together. You're not alone. We are many. And we are stronger together. Thank you for listening to me today. We'll be back tomorrow. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.